What is going on, everybody? This is Party Card Sports back again for the final time of this NFL season.
Season finale.
Because it is over. The Kansas City Chiefs are your 2024 Super Bowl champions.
Sadly. Begrudgingly, we have to do this podcast. Quick disclaimer. I am getting over the COVID, so I apologize for any hacking, coughing. I will do my best to censor that as best I can.
And I am getting over my Sunday hangover still.
Must be fucking nice. I'm actually not.
I'm better.
Oh, on Tuesday, I hope you're better. But
I'll start off with this. Nate, at exactly like 5:45 p.m. on Sunday evening, what text message did I send you?
Let's bring it up real quick here.
Yeah, because the game was going on. It just started. Something happened, and then I instantly texted Nate.
5:46.
5:46.
And kickoff was at
5:30.
5:36. Yep. So 10 minutes after kickoff.
10 minutes after kickoff.
Fumble. GG. Game's over.
Yep. And there it was. At that moment, I had known the 49ers were losing the game.
And then shortly after that, fumble Kansas City. 49ers are back.
Yeah, that's exact. Yeah. So it's a fumble, which the Chiefs did nothing with. Then punt. Field goal for the 49ers. Finally, there's some points on the board. 3-0. Fumble for the Chiefs, which the 49ers did nothing with. Punted the ball. Punt. Touchdown, 49ers. It's 10-0 for the second time in the last 4 years.
Look, I just want to stop you there. Can we fucking stop with this 10-point lead shit? Everybody's talking about how it's insurmountable. 10 points is not insurmountable. It's not a big fucking deal, let alone it's not even halftime yet. Yes. People, calm your fucking shit.
So, for the second time in 4 years, the 49ers had a 10-point lead, and then the Kansas City Chiefs scored a field goal going into halftime. You're thinking, okay, 7 points. This game's really close. Super defensive. Instantly right out of the gates. Patrick Mahomes threw an interception. What did we tell you? What happens when Patrick Mahomes threw an interception? There is a huge spike in the likelihood of the other team to win. But, again, the 49ers could not do anything with the ball.
Literally, I think it went backwards.
Yep. Then
they lost yardage.
Then the Chiefs couldn't. Then the 49ers couldn't. Then there was a field goal. It's 6-10. Punt. Finally a touchdown. 13-10. You're thinking, oh, no, here we go again. Chiefs are just going to run away with this one. But no, the 49ers go down and score again. So now it's, oh, wait a minute. Blocked field goal. Oh, my goodness. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now it's field goal away. So you get obviously, Kansas City kicks field goal. Dang it. It's going to go to overtime. No, field goal again. There's no way Kansas City. Oh, wait a minute. Field goal. So now we're in OT. And I'm going to slow it down here a little bit. Kyle Shanahan decides to take the ball.
Fucking idiot.
First in OT. Knowing that both teams will get a shot.
I mean, so to his alleged defense, allegedly he conveyed with the San Francisco 49ers analytic team and they said analytically we have a better chance if we take the ball first and then if we match we get the scoring drive.
That makes sense
if you score a touchdown.
If you score a touchdown.
And they hadn't scored a touchdown since, I guess they scored that touchdown in the fourth quarter that ended up the block PAT. But still, up to that point, yeah, the Kansas City defense was tired and you were running the ball okay on them. But other than that, you got stifled the whole game. Put your defense out there that has stifled Kansas City and let them set the tone. Let Kansas City go down and score. That way, me personally, I want to kick the ball. That way, I know if I give up a field goal or a touchdown, I'm four downs. I get that whole extra down to do whatever
You know how much harder it is? Okay, so Kansas City said that even if the 49ers were to score a touchdown, kick the PAT, they said they were going to go for two, right?
That's what you should do.
Do you know how much harder, though, it is to make that decision to go for two when the other team hasn't even had their chance yet? So now you're talking about Kansas City has to pick between seven, eight, or six. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if you get the ball first and you score a touchdown, you have to kick the PAT. You can't go for two.
You could go for two.
No, you can't.
You could.
You cannot go for two. You have to kick the PAT and let the other team win it on their two-point conversion or lose it. Which, I mean, Kansas City had the right mind going into overtime. You go for two, you decide your fate. San Francisco had a plan, but it... Shanahan, it just shit the bed. I don't think in any right mind you should take the ball to start overtime, the new overtime at all.
This is, yeah, anyway. So then, obviously, what happens is there's a stop, field goal, and then the Chiefs march down the field. There is basically no time left, and they do the same play that they've done in all situations when they just need like 4 or 5 yards for a touchdown. Motion the outside wide receiver in, snap the ball, outside wide receiver goes to flats, wide open, touchdown. 4 seconds left, touchdown.
Yeah.
Game, set, match.
So I slept through the game. I canceled my vacation day. And I went to work. I didn't watch any part of the game. I didn't watch any highlights. I just knew what the final score was. I get off work Monday. I watch the game Monday morning. I watch a replay. And I get to that final play. And as soon as Mecole Hardman goes in motion, I know exactly who's getting the ball and where he's getting it. He's either going to go all the way across the formation, get it in the flat, or he's going to go right back out. Well, he doesn't go back across formation, so now I know he has to go back outside. Where's the ball go? Outside flat. So the guy that was in motion, just like last year, they ran the same play, but from trips wide to the wide side of the field instead of trips short on the short side, or trips tight on the short side of the field. Same play.
Yeah, I don't know why... This should have been like ingrained in the 49ers.
Everybody runs this play.
Because, but the Chiefs have been known to run this play.
Yeah. I mean, this is the Andy Reid special.
Yes. I've seen this play a lot from Chiefs, not just in big games, all season.
Yeah. I mean, this is their go-to.
So, anyway, I feel like that was a blunder there. But there's a whole lot more in this game. We sped through it quite a bit just because I wanted to. You know, basically, it felt like a weird game because it's just like punt, 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 punt. I did not think there'd be this many punts in the Super Bowl.
So
turnover, nothing done with it. Turnover, nothing done with it. You know what I mean? Like, it was a weird game. Super defensive.
This game went exactly the way I thought it was going to go. I predicted the score would be 24-23. It was 25-22.
Yeah, but let's be honest here. There was a huge moment in this game that completely flipped it around.
Let's just say the two, in my mind, everyone wants to talk about, you know, one or two plays that saved the game. The two plays that really decided this game had nothing to do with Brock Purdy or Patrick Mahomes.
Or CMC, or Travis Kelce, or any offensive player, really.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, technically.
Technically, one was technically an offensive technically. Play, right?
So, obviously, the block PAT, you know. There's 1 point right there, no overtime.
But, and that's game, yeah.
But, you know, who's to say, you know, Chiefs don't go down, score a touchdown. Okay, yeah. Fine. But that punt that came off the 49ers' ankle and the Chiefs end up recovering.
And getting a touchdown.
And getting a touchdown shortly thereafter. That was the straw that started to break the camel's back, I think. And that just kind of took a lot of momentum from the 49ers. Because the 49ers just had a great stop on defense. Yeah. They're like, fuck, yes. And now they're on the sideline like, fuck, now we got to go back out.
Yeah. And in short, super and short on field. Short
field. So.
It was 16 yards. That's it.
Something like that.
No, I'm looking at it.
Oh, you're looking at it?
It was one play, 16 yards.
So it just, from that point.
You just had a huge stop. It's 10-6.
Is that when Kansas City finally took the lead?
Yeah.
That time?
Yeah. So huge stop at a minute 20 in the third. There's only a minute 20 left in the third. It's 10-6. You're basically taking this ball into the fourth quarter with a lead. Turns out you get a miss. Kansas City scores 4 seconds left in the third. Now you're down going into the fourth quarter.
Right.
It's a complete flip-flop of situations.
I agree. I mean, essentially, they played five whole, I guess you can't call them quarters, periods, I guess, because they basically played all of overtime.
Literally, before this point happened, the 49ers defense played a perfect three quarters. But and then this,
I would say, irregardless of the score, they played good defense. They played fantastic defense. Everybody for the 49ers brought what they needed to bring to win a game, other than Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan.
If you look at it, during four quarters of this game, the 49ers defense only gave up, 12 points? No, sorry. Only gave up field goals, right? So we got 3-6. That one touchdown? So, yeah, in 9 points.
Yeah, in 4 quarters.
No, sorry. 12 points in 4 quarters.
And I mean,
and I'm not counting that touchdown as the defense because you basically gave him the ball in the red zone.
Yeah. So, I mean, this, yeah, this was so a game purely a pure testament to just coaching. Once again, I've said it before, good coaching wins you championships. This game is a testament to how good Andy Reid is as a coach, how good Spagnuolo is as a defense coordinator, and nothing to do with less than, I guess, anything to do with any particular players on either team.
No, but, and that's honestly, like, people are going to be like, well, Patrick Mahomes, you know, still had 300 yards passing, still had this and that.
He didn't even
that.
Have 300 yards until overtime.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, the biggest bulk of everything that happened was in overtime.
The biggest bulk of Patrick Mahomes' passing yards was his last two drives in the fourth quarter, including that two-minute drive. And then, yeah, that drive to win the game in overtime. I'm not taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes in this game.
I mean, yeah, he won a Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl. But I'm still going to say that this is more of a testament to Andy Reid and not Patrick Mahomes.
I also wouldn't blame this game on Brock Purdy.
Oh, I would.
I mean, I think there was a ton of drops in this game by huge wide receivers. Also, Debo, no-show. Kittle, no-show.
When you go...
You're talking about your top guys aren't showing up.
When you go 3-for-12 on third down, you were less than 50% completion against the blitz, which, I mean, you alluded to last week that Brock Purdy is allegedly good against the blitz. Not this week.
He usually is. Well, when you your main guys, Debo and George Kittle, don't show up, then what are you supposed to do? The lead receiver was Christian McCaffrey with 80 yards.
He didn't even target. I don't even think he targeted George. Okay, he had two
receivers. He had two receptions for 4 fucking yards.
Other than that, I don't.
You're supposed to be one of the best tight ends in the league. You get 4 fucking yards?
He didn't target him at all. I don't remember those two receptions.
I remember them.
I remember the Juwan Jennings receptions. I mean, and Brandon Ayuk was getting open, but he just couldn't get the ball to him because he had fucking people in his face.
I want to make sure I'm remembering this right. I'm pretty dang sure that Brandon Ayuk dropped like 2 or 3 balls too.
I'm not 100% sure.
But I know Debo did. I'm telling you, the receiving core for the 49ers were not it in that game. CMC showed up to win. CMC wanted the W. He had 160 all-purpose yards?
Yeah, 160.
160 all-fucking-purpose yards. I bet you he would have been MVP if they would have won the game.
I think probably Juwan Jennings would have been. One passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown.
The passing touchdown was to CMC.
Yeah, I don't know. CMC probably would have been MVP. Nah, they probably still would have figured out a way to give it to Purdy. But in my mind, if the 49ers would have won, CMC would have been MVP. But there was just the 49ers had every opportunity to win this game. And it just kind of came down to Brock Purdy not making plays at big moments. It came down to Kyle Shanahan stop running the ball in the third quarter for some reason.
That doesn't make any sense either. You have the lead. What are you doing?
They tried to... I know what he was thinking. They were hoping that... Because they ran a lot of that play action boot in the third quarter on first down. And they were just hoping that Kansas City was going to just run down the line and chase the play action.
Bro.
And it never worked.
Why? Why? Are you taking your ball out of your best player's hand? I'm sorry, Chiefs fans. The best player in the game, you're taking the ball out of his hands.
And that's CMC, right?
That's CMC. Okay. Like, I'm sorry. Patrick Mahomes may or may not be the best quarterback. Travis Kelce may or may not be the best tight end. But the best player on the entire field,
pound for pound,
is CMC. And you're winning the game. And you're not going to run the ball?
I understand it the first time because you're expecting the Chiefs to just commit heavy to the run. So first time you come out under center and you show that stretch look to the wide side of the field, and then you boot out of it. The first time it doesn't work, you don't go back to it the next series.
No!
The Chiefs are, like, I'm saying this again, well-coached and well-disciplined. That backside defender didn't chase the rabbit. Stayed outside and waited for Brock Purdy. And every time they ran that play-action boot, that guy was waiting for Brock Purdy. The first time it didn't work, don't fucking go back to it. He went back to it two or three more times in that game or in that quarter on first down. Just run the damn ball.
Run the ball, Bert.
I was just thinking.
Run the damn ball.
Enough with the trick plays.
Yeah, you don't. Dude, they had the Chiefs outmatched in the run game.
I feel that the 49ers, granted, they played five periods. I'm prefaced five periods. They outplayed the Chiefs
2.9.
Because the fourth quarter's a wash, in my mind.
Yeah, the fourth quarter was great football, actually.
Fourth quarter was a wash.
I actually really enjoyed the fourth quarter.
The Chiefs dominated the third because, I mean,
they scored.
They scored and they stopped running the ball. But the whole first half was all 49ers. The 49ers could have and should have had at least 17. They could have easily had 20 points in the first half if it wasn't for turnovers and them fucking off. I mean, the Chiefs defense played well. And Brock Purdy didn't show up. Patrick Mahomes, although had an interception, limited his mistakes and made plays when the Chiefs had to.
Yeah. No, that's the whole thing. It's like what you... All year long, the Chiefs have been in a bend, don't break mentality in all phases of their game. And guess what? They never broke. They never broke once. And that goes back to what you just said earlier. I'm not going to say probably with this one. They are the best coach team in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
At all facets of the game.
Yeah, I agree.
Spags on defense. I could make the argument that he's probably the best defensive coordinator in the game right now.
Yeah.
The way that this, what he did with this defense and with these cornerbacks, just turned it, flipped it around.
How young this defense is.
Even with the linebacker injuries all year, fantastic. You could definitely make the argument that Andy Reid is not only the best head coach, but also best play caller in the NFL.
I wouldn't say the best play caller, but definitely the best schemer. Like, he knows a set of plays that he wants to go to. Like, that touchdown play to win the game. He knew that that was going to be a play that he's going to call on short yardage.
And Patrick Mahomes has probably thrown that ball 50 million times.
That play, I bet, was their two-point play if they had to. I bet that was their two-point play.
But they knew that they 4 seconds... On the, what was it, like 6 yard line, four or 5 yard line or something, right. 4 seconds. That's the last play of the game. They knew that going into it.
It's not. See, I thought so, but allegedly.
No, it's on first and goal.
Yeah.
But you throw that ball, he's in bounds. That's game over.
No, it wasn't. I thought so originally.
They didn't have timeouts left.
They didn't. At the end of overtime, they had two timeouts left. But the reason why they didn't call any timeouts is because I thought that if the clock expired, then it was game over. But it wasn't.
What?
Yeah.
Hold up. What?
So.
Wait, if the clock goes to zero, the game's over.
I thought so too, but that was not the case. Kansas City still would have had a chance to score if the clock's hit zero. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Where does that say? Okay, you can't just throw this on me without like bringing something.
Because I watched the play and I'm sitting here, I'm like, why is no one calling a timeout? Why is no one calling a timeout? And then Tony Romo prefaces at this time, he's like, the reason why no one's calling a timeout is because this is essentially a new game. The Chiefs will still have a chance to score if this clock expires.
No and see, fucking
I,
shot.
I didn't think so. I was like, no, if the clock expires, it's game's over, but no.
Okay, listen. We'll come back with that information next week.
Because
I have no idea, and I don't know how to Google that.
But both teams had two timeouts, and no one called it. So they knew the rules better than I did.
Well, that depends on who you ask, because apparently a bunch of the 49ers did not know the rules.
And that goes back to coaching.
That's what we're saying, yeah. Obviously, it wasn't how do you not prepare? How do you not know? First of all, well, until you just drop that bombshell on me. I knew all the rules. I'm a fan.
You thought you knew.
Well, unless that comes out to be true, which I still don't think you're 100% right on, I know the rules to the game. You get two options. A lot of them thought when they kicked that field goal, they won.
Fucking idiots.
No. Sorry. Let me change that up. They thought that if they scored a touchdown there, they won.
I mean, that was Hughes-check. A fullback don't know shit.
Can you imagine if they would have kicked the or scored a touchdown and hit the PAT if they all just start running on the field?
That'd be fucking
they
won. Awesome. The band's on the field.
And they didn't win?
That would have been funny. That would have been priceless. But I want to get back to talk about the game in its entirety, and then next week we'll preface the overtime rules. But this was just the game that it came down to who was going to catch the most breaks and who was going to take advantage of those breaks. The Chiefs got the block PAT. The Chiefs got the special teams play on the punt that was muffed. When Greenlaw went out, that was huge against the 49ers.
Even though their defense still stood strong.
Well, here's the problem. Greenlaw, I think it was the first two series.
Was a monster.
I mean, he shut down Pacheco. He was screaming all over the field. And then Burks had to come in and replace him. Burks was targeted 9 times.
Yeah, gave up
9 passes. One of those was a touchdown. They tried to, especially in the second half, they tried to motion as much as they could to get Kelce on Burks. And I would bet my bottom dollar at least five of those catches from Burks were to Kelce or Gray.
Rough. That was rough. That man, you hate to see that when... And he wasn't even playing, dog.
Yeah.
He wasn't even playing.
He was coming back onto the field after a punt.
God.
And it just... There goes your Achilles, man.
He's just walking, jogging onto the field.
No, he did that like what they call it, like an agility step. And he just boop.
You wouldn't happen to know who that punt hit off the ankle of, right? They say it's off of Lutter, but he was the returner, I believe.
I thought Jennings was the returner.
Was Jennings okay? So it is.
I thought Jennings was the returner and Lutter or Lutter.
So that's what it would be, yeah. Lutter or Lutter. I don't even know who that is. Hey, man. Get out of the way!
I mean, who knows if... Like I said, I think it was Juwan Jennings that was the returner. I'm not 100% sure. But you're supposed to be yelling poison or Peter, whatever terminology your team uses. You're supposed to be yelling it.
And then
most also... Most of the time, it's Peter.
Also? Get on the damn ball!
He tried!
I would have tried a whole lot fucking harder.
But that was... Yeah, I mean...
I'm telling you right now.
To me, that was just the deciding factor in the game. Was that one?
No, that is. One play. I personally believe that is the only reason that this year the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions. I honestly.
Not the only reason, but the very premier reason why.
I believe that the only singular reason that the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions right now is because some guy named Lutter didn't get out of the way, and they got a kick. I've never seen that all fucking year. I've never seen some fucking idiot get hit on the ankle, and now it's the other team's ball.
We see it frequently.
This is worse than the muffed kick by the Colts in that Super Bowl versus the Saints. No, the Bears.
You're dead to me.
This is worse than that. This is worse than that.
I mean, we won that game, but shut the fuck up.
Isn't that the... Which one? No, you lost the one I'm thinking of. It was
the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints one. You lost that game.
Yeah, we lost the Saints. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
This is worse than that.
Shut the fuck up.
But the whole team played fantastic the entire game.
Which whole team?
The 49ers.
Sure. 99% of that team played flawlessly.
99.9% of the team played flawlessly. One guy ruined it.
Brock Purdy.
How bad do you think that guy feels today? Especially after I just called him a bum.
He's probably hungover still. But I was going to say something else also, just to wrap up this game.
I don't know if you watched it since you just watched later after the recorded version, but the halftime show fucking was
lame. I went right to the halftime show.
Halftime show is pretty freaking
lame. I didn't watch halftime show. I didn't watch any commercials. I just fast forward to that shit. Just watch the game. I'm going to say one thing about the reffing and then I'll be done.
And by the way, while we're talking about it in the halftime show, the commercials themselves were all fucking lame too.
Great.
They were all mid as fuck.
Can I say my final statement?
Let me hear it.
If you were to tell me that the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line, the most penalized offensive line in the league, was going to go up against probably two of the top five front fours in back-to-back games and only get two holding penalties, I'd call you a fucking liar.
Yeah, well.
That's all I'm going to say.
Here, it's okay. I'm not going to blame the refs because I've told you the single most important play of this game. I've already said that. But like we said last week, the NFL put refereeing crews in place that would help the Chiefs. And that's not me being biased. That's just being the truth. You take the Ravens game, right? Those refs called more penalties on home teams than they do away teams. That obviously helps the Chiefs. Now, this game. These refs are the least most penalized throwing team in the entire league. That also helps out the Chiefs because the 49ers don't really have penalty problems. Chiefs would have penalty problems on both ends you talk about Chase and Nick Bosa. You ask a Chiefs fan, that's not biased because they've said it all year that our tackles hold all game. And that is the true fact because they're the most penalized tackles in all football. So that's not biased. That's just fucking true.
Like I said, and here's the thing. I implore everyone to go watch the game again and just look at the edges. Look at Chase Young. Look at Bosa. The first half, they're getting chipped. They're getting doubled. And then the Chiefs realize, shit, we haven't got a holding call. They're letting us hold. They did not chip Bosa one time. In the second half.
But
They did chip Chase Young a couple times in the second half. But they didn't chip Bosa one time in the second half.
I still, out of all that, I still wouldn't blame the refs for this game. I still blame that one freaking play.
I'm not blaming the refs. I'm just putting it out there.
Because hear me out at that point, right? Say they get the ball back.
Who? 49ers?
The 49ers.
Off that punt.
Then they go down the field. Let's say they score three, right? That's a touchdown. The Chiefs need a touchdown to get it 13-13.
And more time off the clock.
Or they score a touchdown, and now it's 17-6 with how much ever time they have left. You need 11 points. That's two possessions, first of all. And you might not have any time. And then you have the best running back in the NFL to try to drain clock. Come on now. We're talking about San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl winners. And instead, going into the fourth, you have a complete flip-flop of situations, and now the 49ers are in danger of losing. That's just how it goes, man. Game of inches. Right. Just unfortunately, that inch was however the big ankle. The ankle was, you know?
It was just off the ankle of Luttered or Lutered or whatever the fuck his name was. Yeah. But this game, it went exactly kind of how I imagined it. I mean, very defensive. I really thought the scoring was going to be like a couple haymakers that randomly got mixed in after a bunch of jabs. Like, finally someone just hits a deep bomb that goes for a big touchdown. But that's not how it was. It was like, okay, we're going to just nickel dime, and kick field goal or score a random touchdown in here.
Yeah.
Because there was only three total touchdowns, right? Four total touchdowns.
Four. Yeah, but that's the whole thing. Is all the words are hard.
Words.
All the scoring drives were long, multiple plays, even on the field goal scoring drives, long, multiple plays. It's not like there was no haymakers. The only haymaker was
followed up by a fumble. One deep ball,
yes,
which should have been picked, but for some reason the underneath safety decided to stop running, and then it was followed up by the Pacheco fumble.
Yeah, And that, who was that? Was that MVS that caught that?
I think that was MVS, that ball? Yeah.
I'm going to go back. Let me look at it real quick. Here we go. No, it's Mecole Hardman.
Was that Hardman that caught that one?
That was the 52-yard play. Only time, and it was followed up by the fumble.
Yeah.
So it meant nothing.
Pretty much. Ball don't lie. But
I think maybe if you really wanted to say that there was any other haymaker, was the 49ers touchdown with the trick play?
I mean, that sure. I mean, I guess because that was the first touchdown.
Yeah, it was 21 yards. Does sure. that count as a haymaker?
I mean, they nickeled and dimed there all the whole way down there. And then, like, I was surprised they went with it that early. That's something I would have saved for later on in the game. But, I mean, kudos to them just putting their dick on the line and saying, ah, this is what we got to do to score, I guess.
In their mind, they didn't want to go into halftime.
No tutties.
3-0 or 3-3 with the Chiefs.
I agree.
Or 6-3. Obviously, from the past, what we've said is you have to score to beat the Chiefs. And field goals don't get it done.
This game had two outcomes. And the one outcome for the 49ers to win was they were going to have to win in a decisive manner.
They did not.
I told you that if it was going to be a close game, the Chiefs were going to win.
But if you flip flop that punt, it's pretty decisive.
It would have been, yeah. It would have been relatively more decisive, and the San Francisco 49ers, you know, probably edged their way out.
I feel bad for the guy that it is, but it's all his fault.
You let the whole team
like legitimately. Down. I'm sorry. I feel bad for you because like it's gonna be blamed on you forever. But that was all your fault. The entire game was your fault.
So, do you think Shanahan still has a job?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. He's been to the Super Bowl twice in 4 years. He'll have a job.
He's 0-3 Doesn't as a matter. Play caller in the Super Bowl.
Doesn't matter.
I'm done talking about the game. I mean, I said what I needed to say. There's really not a lot to read between the lines. Other than what we've already covered.
The only other thing I could say is Andy Reid could very easily walk away right now and be probably named one of the best coaches of all time.
He's coming back.
But I've heard...
It's already reported.
Yeah, from reports and stuff, he's probably going to come back.
Oh, that does remind me, though.
Travis Kelce could also walk away from the game right now.
He said he's coming back.
And also said he's coming back. So they want to do a three-peat. And the NFL is going to do everything in their power to get it there.
So speaking of that, we were talking about Bienemy last week, and I had not heard this until after the Super Bowl. I don't remember if I heard it Sunday night or Monday morning after I watched it. But Bienemy has been in Kansas City since everything has unfolded in Washington.
So I heard that, too. I sent you that, right? I sent you...
No, you didn't send me that.
I thought I sent you a link and asked if this was true.
No.
Okay, well, I can't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday. I found the same link that said Bienemy has been in Kansas City since the Ravens game.
And I didn't hear that part.
And I sent that to you and I go, this can't be true, right? Like this has to be nonsense. Apparently it wasn't bullshit because Bienemy was in Kansas City, which in my mind, is that fair?
It's not tampering because he's fired. He doesn't have a job. And even anything with coaches pretty much goes. But it's pretty much indefinite at this point that Bienemy is most likely going to have some sort of position with the Chiefs, whether it's some sort of advisor role, back being OC over Nagy. Who knows? But I would assume that in some capacity, Bienemy is going to be back with the Chiefs program next season.
I always thought that would be a thing.
Yeah.
When we were asking whether or not he retires or not, I was like, yeah, that's why Bienemy's not hired.
Right.
Because obviously it didn't work out in Washington. Even though he, you know,
I still
did pretty dang good.
I don't understand what their thought process was in Washington. I think most of it's probably because Bienemy just wanted to come back to KC. I think unless somebody offers him a head coach job, but there's no head coaching jobs available. But we've seen coaches get fired between now and free agency and all that shit.
We've also seen coaches get hired and then maybe not hired, then hired, then like kind of hired, but maybe not. And then
just hired.
Now hired.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Like next week. But I'm ready to move on. So with the Super Bowl all wrapped up, everybody is kind of in this state of limbo for the next month. March 11th marks the day first. I believe it's March 11th. So basically a month away.
March 11th.
First day of free agency. Everyone loves free. I love free agency.
Because all cap issues have to be resolved by March 11th.
Yeah. Good luck.
That's what they have to do.
So we decided it'd be fun just to go through our top five free agents who we don't think are going to re-sign with their current team and where they could potentially go. I'm going to go ahead and go first because this guy's relevant to the Kansas City Chiefs. Chris Jones. He's basically the number one free agent on everyone's list. Oops. I don't think he's the number one free agent. I'm starting him off on my list just because the relevancy to the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. With Kansas City only have $22 million in cap, they have to re-sign Snead. They have to re-sign Tranquil. They have to re-sign Willie Gay. They're not going to have money for Chris Jones. The market value for Chris Jones is looking like $30 million. I don't think he's worth it. He's definitely not worth that money to Kansas City. I don't think Chris Jones has the same relevancy in this scheme that Snead, Willie Gay, and Tranquil have. So I see Chris Jones moving on unless he takes a huge fucking team-friendly deal for basically nothing. Two teams that I think he could go to, if he just wants the absolute bag in a team that needs help on the defensive line because they got rid of both their edge rushers, Washington with $73 million in cap, they need help on the D-line. So if he wants the absolute bag, Washington would probably be a good fit. If he still wanted to contend for a championship, I can see him going to the Bengals with $59 million in cap, and they need help on the defensive line. Those would be probably the two best fits, in my opinion.
I agree that he's probably going to go somewhere because the Chiefs don't have any money to re-sign him. And I also agree he was going to go somewhere with the bag. Now, here, I don't think he'll be relevant whatsoever. I think Spags basically makes him a good player.
I agree.
And wherever he goes, whoever's going to spin the bag on him to get him is going to be wasted.
Yeah, you'll see production decrease. I don't think Chris Jones is a true elite pass rusher by himself. A lot of his sacks
come off of
pressures because Chiefs send pressure. They send five. They send six. They force you to cover him one-on-one. And, I mean, even one-on-one with the best guards and tackles, wherever he lines up, he's not that good. He can't create pressure by himself.
I think Washington would be making a big mistake. You just got rid of two absolutely phenomenal defensive linemen to get someone that's older and going to be a lot more money than what you could have kept for the same amount of money.
Right.
So I think that'd be dumb for Washington to do, particularly. Now, knowing Washington, could Washington do that? Absolutely. What was the other team you said?
Bengals.
The Bengals might actually be halfway decent with it, but I still think you're talking about production decreases for sure for someone that's going to be going for like $20 million. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Or 30. So I forget what it was. I had it pulled up earlier.
It's okay. Our fans will know.
I think it was going for like 30.
That's ridiculous. What's his
market value?
I'm going to move on. I'm going to do my guy. And probably the best quarterback free agent this offseason. I don't think he's going back to the Vikings. I think Vikings are in full rebuild mode. I'm talking about Captain Kirk
like Cousins. That?
I don't think he goes back to the Vikings. I think they're going to try to get their quarterback of the future. I think they're trying to get their team of the future in general around there. I think they probably will try to re-sign Justin Jefferson. If not, they still have Addison. They'll probably try to trade Justin Jefferson for something. Completely rebuilding the whole team. Now, where do I think he's going to go? The best option in my mind, and I only have one, that's the Falcons. Falcons need a quarterback. I know people are thinking they're going to take a quarterback in the draft. I think that would be dumb. I think they have all the pieces right now to win and easily afford Kirk Cousins and keep money for even more free agents. They have probably the best weapons Kirk Cousins could ask for. It'd be a great pick for Kirk Cousins. They have wide receiver Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan, and Algier still on contract. That offense with Kirk Cousins would be dominant. And they could still afford to pick up defensive tools. I think that would be the best option for Cousins.
The way you explain it, yeah, I think that would be a good fit for Cousins. I could definitely see that happening. Because I do. I agree. I don't think he's going to go back to Minnesota. I think Minnesota needs to just retool and rebuild and just start from scratch. Him going to Atlanta with those tools, they got rid of Arthur Smith, who didn't know how to fucking use dick for shit out there. But Kirk Cousins, he'll make something happen. Will he win a playoff game there? Who knows?
It also widely depends on if Kurt is cool with not being like, I need the bag. If Kurt wants the bag again, he won't go to the Falcons.
No one's going to pay Kurt what he just came off of.
No, which I think he knows that. And I think that he was already willing to give the hometown discount to the Vikings. But I think I do not think the Vikings want Kurt back. I think they want a fresh rebuild.
I'm thinking Kurt probably pulls anywhere between 15 and 20.
I think if he wants if he wants to go somewhere real quick for a ring, he'll take less.
What team would he sign with?
The Falcons.
How much money has the Falcons got?
A lot, I think. Let's see.
They got 20, just under 26, and they can restructure. Yeah, so I think Kirk would play for 15-ish. I think he should play for 15.
I was thinking around 12.
Nah. He's still worth way more than 12.
Anyway, we're arguing about semantics of money, which can be changed exponentially in the NFL. Who is your second free agent?
I'm going off schedule. I'll go to technically my third, but to stay on the category of quarterback, I'm going with Gardner Minshew. I highly doubt the Colts will bring him back. They have Richardson. That's going to be the quarterback going forward. And with having to re-sign Pittman, Blackman, and Moore, I don't think they're going to try to have Gardner Minshew come back when they have Sam Ehlinger still back there, or they can just go draft or get some other schmuck to be a backup. I like you. I put Gardner Minshew being a fit in the Falcons system.
I can see that.
Just a guy that can be electrifying, uses tools, who's going to be cheaper than Kirk Cousins, if they wanted to go that route.
Pretty good at hitting the check down running back.
Another two fits that I think Gardner Minshew could fit in are the Patriots, because their quarterback room's in complete fucking shambles. I highly doubt they pick up the fifth-year option on Mac Jones. And Bailey Zappe is just a glorified Mac Jones. I don't know what... Bailey Zappe is nothing special. So I could see Gardner Minshew potentially going to the Patriots, and then I can also see Gardner Minshew going to the Vikings. Because, like I said, I don't think Kirk Cousins is going back. And what they have now isn't going to be their future, I don't
you
think.
You think that if he goes to the Vikings, it'd be in the same role that he went to the Colts for?
No, I think
that... I think the Vikings get a quarterback in the draft.
I don't see where the Vikings are going to be drafting. I don't see them getting a quarterback ready to go. I think Gardner Minshew would be there to start while that quarterback sits behind him, that was the case.
Robinson didn't start the year, right? Or did he?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. Robinson started the year. Richardson.
Richardson.
You got me fucked up.
All right. I like the Patriots one for the Patriots. For Minshew, I don't like that. Because who are you throwing the ball to?
Well, literally, I'll get into that with one of my other picks.
Well, wait. The Patriots are completely losing all their tight ends, basically. And their wide receiver core
is garbage.
Is very laughable.
Yes.
And they also will not have... Oh, wait. Sorry. They will have a running back. I kind of forgot about Stevenson.
Yeah.
But they're not offensively tooled, in my opinion. But the Falcons, obviously, same reasons as Kurt. Kurt's obviously the better option, but Minshew with those tools could be good as well. And it's cheaper.
You're number two.
I'm going to get this one out of the way so then we can just talk about for real shit. Derrick Henry needs to come to the Dallas Cowboys. If they're first of all, for Dallas, this should be... what's the word? Priority numero uno is getting Derrick Henry. Dallas has needed a workhorse back since whenever Zeke decided to slow the or take the tires off because Zeke hasn't been Zeke in a long time. Then Dallas tried to do this dang thing with Tony Pollard that did not work out whatsoever.
And we all had our hopes.
They need a guy like Derrick Henry. They're retooling their offensive line. Biotish probably won't be on the team next year. But this draft class is completely stacked.
Oh, yeah.
Full of offensive linemen and good offensive linemen. Also, the Dallas Cowboys tight end room completely stacked, like guys that are athletic and can block. So Derrick Henry has another form of blocker in tight end room. Why this is good for Derrick Henry, it's not. But it's good for me, and I want this more than any other thing in all free agency.
I mean, it's good for Derrick Henry. It depends on what the Cowboys want to do. They need to decide whether they're going to be a run-first team or we're going to put the ball in the air 40 times a game. Because if they're going to put the ball in the air 40 times a game, then Derrick Henry probably doesn't want to be there.
The one reason why it's probably good for Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry literally lives in Dallas.
Yeah, and so, there's no state income tax, so that's more money in his pocket. But he's on an instant contending team.
Out of all things, I need this. I need King Henry to be a Dallas Cowboy. I need it. I've been asking for it for 2 years.
What a guy.
Go on to your third.
My third, I'm going to use this to piggyback off the Gardner Minshew, is going to be T. Higgins. I don't see Cincinnati re-signing Boyd and Higgins. They are both up this year. I see Cincinnati re-signing Boyd just for that veteran presence, and he's going to be cheaper than Higgins. I think Higgins also wants to go somewhere where he can be the guy. He can be a number one receiver that he was before Jamar Chase got to Cincinnati. The Chiefs is a very viable option for T. Higgins, but he won't get the money that I think that he's worth or that he's probably looking for. Chiefs with $22 million in cap is a possible landing spot for a longer-term deal where he can push back some of that money. And you mentioned earlier that the Patriots don't have a wide receiver. So if they go get Gardner Minshew, who's he going to throw the ball to? Go get T. Higgins. He's instantly number one receiver. The Patriots have $66 million in cap. There you go. You got a quarterback. You got a wide receiver. You re-signed one of your tight ends, and you're okay. You're good to go. You got some tools.
How much cap does the Patriots have?
$66 million.
Do they have? Okay. Rewind it. Take it back. Also a great spot for Kirk Cousins.
No,
going to the Patriots with T. Higgins.
That would be awful.
Captain Kurt and T. Higgins in the Patriots. That would be a win-win double signing.
I think Kirk just needs a little bit more tools than Gardner. Because Gardner Minshew is going to throw the rock. And Gardner Minshew is still athletic enough that he can take off. Captain Kirk, Achilles injury, he probably ain't taking off the rock.
No, but he's definitely the better passer of the two.
Oh, I'm not going to disagree with that. But I don't think Captain Kirk should go to the Patriots. I think you had it right with Atlanta.
All right, I'm gonna stick to the same vein. I'm going to stick with wide receiver. Also, going off of what Nate said, the Chiefs need a wide receiver, right? But they obviously don't have a lot of money for what they need to re-sign.
In terms of monies, they have no money.
Obviously, as Chiefs fans, you want T. Higgins. You want Mike Evans. You want Michael Pittman. You want these guys that are big names. But you can't necessarily afford him while also needing to re-sign Snead, Willie Gay, Tranquil, and Chris Jones, but Chris Jones probably leave him.
Yeah, he gone.
But you have big names that you need to re-sign and not a lot of money. I got the best of both worlds for you. I got a big name that won't cost a lot of money and is still probably a pretty good wide receiver. You want to take a guess who that is, Nate?
Still probably good.
Michael Thomas would be a great fit in Kansas City. Michael Thomas could then jump back onto a contender team again. The Chiefs could save money by budgeting with a budget wide receiver that may or may not be a little bit past his prime. Still good. And they could save money, re-sign Snead, re-sign Gay, re-sign Tranquil.
It all comes down to how much Michael Thomas is going to look for getting paid. I don't know where he falls because he's been so off the beaten path 1 year with injury. Did he get suspended also? Or was it just his injury?
I think he was suspended.
And then there was an injury.
No, Alvin Kamara was suspended. I think he was just injured.
So there was the injury. Then there was who the fuck is his quarterback? And so it's hard to know what you're really going to get.
What did Odell Beckham Jr. get?
I have no idea. I could pull it up.
You keep talking. I will look it up.
I don't recall what OBJ got. I want to say OBJ got like 15 or 13 million, something like that, for his 1 year deal with the Ravens. So I'll move on. And that guy that played in the Super Bowl is going to be my number four free agent pick, and that's Chase Young. I highly doubt the 49ers re-signed him. The 49ers are in cap hell. What you got?
OBJ's contract was 1 year, $15 million. Yeah, I don't think Michael Thomas will get that much money.
I don't think so either.
I think you're looking below 10.
I don't think he's playing for that. I don't. He'll go.
He'll play. He'll play somewhere for that.
He'll play somewhere for that, but I don't think he's going below 10. But back to what I was saying.
Brandon Cook's contract was 2 years, 39.
Yeah, Brandon Cook's also young.
And I think both of them. No, he's not. Both of them guys were better when they got signed than what Thomas did the last like couple years, plus injuries.
We'll see.
So budget.
Can I carry on?
Chase Young, it's your floor.
Chase Young. 49ers are... What? I just had it pulled up. They're negative. Where are they at here? So they're not as bad as I thought. I thought they were way worse. But they're negative $3 million in cap as of now. They'll restructure some things, but I highly doubt they go after Chase Young again. Just because they know they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy after this next year, because this is the last year that he's going to be on his rookie contract for 24, for the regular season of 24. He'll probably get an extension this offseason. That way they can get ahead of the game. I wouldn't be surprised by that. But where I could see Chase Young going is two teams that have the cap and that are still contenders if he wants to play that for a ship. One is the Lions with a $58 million in cap. That would shore up their pass rush and kind of give them just a little bit more help on creating some pressure and maybe a little bit more consistency with that defense. Another place that I could see them going, or see Chase Young going, is the Texans. We have $69 million in cap, putting him on the other side of a guy that had a good rookie year in Will Anderson. That's a pretty good pass rush, if I don't say so myself.
Yeah, plus going along with that, and one of your earlier guys, there's been ties with Chris Jones to the Texans as well.
I had not heard that. That would be interesting. You can move on.
Mine?
Yep.
Okay. I think wherever Chase Young goes, he'll play fantastic. We were doing this, we discussed, I think Chase Young gets re-signed. I don't know how, but I think he does. But I like both of your picks for where he would go. In Texans, it'd get real nasty, though. And the Texans are looking on the up and up, too.
After we finish both of our fifth picks, I want to say something about the Texans.
Okay.
Free agency.
I won't go with my defensive guy just yet because I think that's actually my better of the two takes. But I'm going to go Saquon Barkley is not going to go back to the Giants.
I would be highly surprised if he did.
They screwed him over on this franchise tag deal. They're terrible. They have not been good in the... They haven't been good the entire time Saquon's been there. Last year, you could say was their best year, but they made it one game into the playoffs and were gone. Whatever. Now, Saquon could go to a known contender, not in the NFC, jump ship, and become the right-hand man to the Josh Allen in Buffalo. Buffalo has needed a workhorse running back since forever. LeSean McCoy was their last workhorse running back, and I think he's been retired for 5 years, 4 or 5 years now. And, hey, if I'm Josh Allen, what better than having an easy check down guy or even a guy that can easily get you 4 to 5 yards each carry. And for Barkley, he's instantly now back on a contending team that he knows the organization is actually run pretty decent. So I like it for both parties.
It's going to be hard for the Bills to pull that one off. A lot of money they need to move around with being 43 in the red.
They'll get it done. I personally am a believer of cap does not exist in the NFL.
It definitely exists. That's why they have it.
There's so much workarounds that teams can do.
But you can only do it for so much, and then you're right back in cap problems. You can't keep kicking the can down the road.
You can keep kicking. I've seen it. You can keep kicking.
Yeah, and then you wind up like the Saints are right now, negative $83 million in cap.
Yeah, well, the Saints should trade everybody away.
The Saints just need to take a whole year off.
Just trade everyone away.
My fifth pick, my final pick, it's a reach. I initially didn't think that this team had enough cap, and then it turns out I was reading wrong. But the Baltimore Ravens have $13 million in cap, so there is probably a chance that they go ahead and re-sign Patrick Queen. But I'm holding out that they don't. I'm holding out because, God dang, it would look so good if Patrick Queen came to the Colts. $62 million in cap. Now, that's after, if they could swing it, after signing Pittman, Moore, and Blackman. I think those are the three biggest signings that the Colts need to get done. I think Grover Stewart can go, and we just draft another defensive tackle. We're not losing anybody else. That's a huge part. But if they could get a veteran linebacker, especially a stud that can play the pass, that can play the run like Patrick Queen does, I would be ecstatic. I think it's a good fit for Queen. If they could pay him, I think he's worth the money. But like I said, I'm holding out. I think the Ravens probably will re-sign him after looking that they do have 13 in cap. God, I'm holding out. It'd be nice.
Not going to be able to afford him. I don't think. I think they'll go other places.
Another team first. Another team that I think that he could go to, if he wants to get paid. I think another team that he could go to that really needs help would also be the Bengals. I think they could pay him, but I don't know if they'll have enough cap after some of the other signings that I said. But the Patriots would be a good fit for him as well. And then maybe for like a middle-of-the-road team, maybe the Raiders. But that kind of wraps up my fifth pick. But I hope the Colts go after Patrick Queen. That would be fantastic he makes it to free agency.
It'd be the first big signing for the Colts in years.
Yeah, Colts usually don't play very much in free agency, but we haven't really had the cap lately.
Do you have enough room to get Pippen and Queen?
Depending on how long-term deal we get on Pittman and how much money he asked for. But $62 million in cap.
I think you need both.
Well, for sure. We need Pittman, Moore, and Blackman. We need all three of those, in my opinion, because our defense was solid. It wasn't
Blackman's,
great,
Blackman's not going to cost you too much, right? No,
Blackman and Moore aren't going to cost too much.
But Pittman.
Pittman's going to, you got to pay the man. Unfortunately, you got to pay the man.
Okay.
I mean, he's had great seasons, so.
You don't like him, though. Or did you come around on him?
I kind of came around on him this year. So we'll see. We'll see.
I like Patrick Queen, too. I don't think my team has anywhere close to enough money to try to get him. But, man, that would be a great linebacker to have, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Speaking of defensive players.
This is a good one for you.
I was rustling through. I didn't have a fifth free agency, but then it kind of snapped into my head as we were talking. Daniel Hunter for the Vikings is a free agent. Duh. We had already talked about the Vikings are probably going to be moving on in the future. They want a bunch of free spots for these young guys. They're probably not going to sign Daniel Hunter back. Tampa Bay is in desperate need of an elite pass rusher. They already have a solid defense. They have the money. And they have a defensive-minded coach in Todd Bowles. This was their offseason. This was supposed to be their meh year. And they still made it to the playoffs.
That whole division's meh.
They still made it to the playoffs. They still won a playoff game. They'll probably re-sign Baker Mayfield. They sign Daniel Hunter. Sorry. Wow. Brain fart. The sign here, they might be able to keep Mike Evans. You're looking at another playoff contender right there. Daniel Hunter would make a fantastic edge rusher for Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think that'd be a good fit. Like I said, they don't have good edge rush. They still have Vita Vea to shore up the middle and shore up the run game. So Hunter only has to worry really about the edge. Doesn't have to worry about covering the pass. I think that's a good fit for Hunter. I think it'd be a good fit for the Buccaneers as well.
It would
well.
Make that front four so good.
I think if that were to happen with how bad the rest of that division is and how much trouble the Saints are in cap and they're not going to be able to get any better, the Bucs probably would seal up that division almost. But with $47 million goes by pretty quick when you got a quarterback to sign.
Yeah, which I am under the belief that they probably signed Baker Mayfield. I don't know what a viable contract would be for Baker Mayfield, but I'm under the belief that they will sign Baker Mayfield.
I think Baker would probably sign somewhere 2 or 3 year deal, probably worth anywhere between 15 and 17 a year.
I had a predictor pulled up just a second ago, but I obviously it refreshed, so I don't have it. But that might be true. I don't know what the actual quarterback market is for someone that was on a team, left that team, signed a one-year contract, now needs a new contract after winning a playoff game. I don't know what the contract market is for that.
It's hard for a journeyman like that. It is. That's why I'm saying something like you can't commit a lot of money to him because you only have, in the Buccaneers case, $47 million in cap, and you don't want to just blow your fucking wad on a two-year deal for this quarterback that – I'm sorry, you're probably not going to win the NFC Championship and get to the Super Bowl.
I would say they would have to sign him to 3 or 4 years to try to backload money.
I think 3 years is fine. I wouldn't commit to Baker for 4 years just because you just don't know with him. And to commit that money, it just doesn't make sense to me. So that's what I'm saying. 2 or 3 years, you know, 15-ish, 17 maybe. And I think it's okay for the Bucs. They go get Daniel Hunter. They sure up that edge rush.
I wouldn't be surprised.
They basically walk that division because that division is softer than wet bread.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's 3 or 30.
3 for 30 when it. God, that's cheap as fuck. That's a good deal. You take that deal. A damn good deal.
It's a good deal for the team.
Yeah, for the team. And I mean, Baker Mayfield gets to play on a playoff team.
But Daniel Hunter's gonna get way more than that.
Oh fuck yeah, he'll probably.
And it's gonna be a more long term deal, 3 to 4 years, easily.
Daniel Hunter will get over 20.
I think so.
He'll get.
I think
just over 20.
I think Daniel Hunter's maybe only slightly as good as. They're not the same because obviously Daniel Hunter is an edge rusher and Patrick Queen is a linebacker. But I would say that I think Daniel Hunter is only slightly less, not athletic, that's not the right word, slightly less
gifted,
talented as Patrick Queen.
Other words.
Thank you for giving me some good descriptors.
I was wondering where you were going with any of that. You're just kind of like, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. In money terms.
Yeah, for sure. That pretty much wraps it up. I mean, I'm done. That was a good season. Our first full season as a podcast. Done. Wrapped it up.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see all these free agents that are going to go to the Cowboys, even though they have no money.
That's the worst part about free agency is when your team has no money. You're just like,
No. It's even worse when like you're actually an informed person about your team's cap, and then you still get articles and text messages and all these things. Hey, man. I hear that Mike Evans is going to come to the Cowboys. And I'm like, oh, yeah, where are we going to get that $50 million to sign him? Like,
just going to pull it out of Jerry Jones' ass and add it to the cap.
Yeah. Or, oh, hey, I heard that they might trade for Aaron Donald. Oh, yeah, where the fuck are we getting this money? I hate reading articles like that. It's so dumb.
Well, if you trade for him, then that means you're also getting rid of some cap space.
If we trade a player.
Yeah.
Trading picks.
Well, then it doesn't really help you with the cap situation.
It's always dumb. It's like we were supposed to get OBJ. Didn't happen. We were supposed to get some safety now that I can't remember. We're supposed to get Bobby Wagner. That didn't happen. We're supposed to get all these players. Never happened.
That's just the Cowboys curse.
Exactly. I can't wait to read all those articles.